From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, January 25th, 2018. And on this day, did partisan fake news have an impact on a recent mayoral election? The arrest and detention of a Haitian immigrant by ICE in Waterville. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you. And by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And by Lee Auto Malls, four generations serving Mainers since 1936, 19 Maine locations, and at leeauto.com.
The Maine Ethics Commission could once again rule whether traditional political attacks carried out by an anonymous website attempted to influence an election. This time, the attacks were cloaked as news reports. And earlier this week, the Maine Democratic Party filed a complaint with the Maine Ethics Commission. The complaint alleges, based on discoveries made on the metadata on some photos on the site, that the Maine Republican Party directed the attacks and violated campaign finance laws when it failed to disclose them. Joining us is political correspondent Steve Missler. Steve, can you tell us about this website, the Maine Examiner, that took such a keen interest in the Lewiston mayoral race?
It's an anonymous website that was created a couple of months before Election Day. And at a glance, it appears like a standard news site. You know, there's some non-political stories, a piece about UFOs, an outdoor section, and even a story about things, weird things Mainers do with pumpkins. But the Examiner has a strong interest in politics, both in promoting conservative officials and candidates, and also attacking liberals and Democrats. And this was true in the Lewiston mayoral race, where both the Maine Democratic Party and Maine GOP were actively engaged. The Examiner published a number of negative stories about liberal candidate Ben Chin in that during the run-up to the election, and even obtained emails he sent to members of his campaign. In one of them, Chin says he encountered, quote, a bunch of racists while he was canvassing, and the Examiner published a story saying Chin called Lewiston voters racist, implying that he said all of them were, and when it was clear that he was talking about some. Chin would later blame those emails and the Examiner for his loss.
And is this site run by the Maine GOP?
Well, we don't know for sure. The people running the site have refused to identify themselves, but this is where we get to this metadata business. So metadata is basically a digital fingerprint that's on images and documents posted to a website. It can contain descriptive information about an element, such as a photo, that can make it searchable on the internet, such as and tell something about who authored that photo, and it contains keywords too. So a California man contacted the Sun Journal in Lewiston and told them they had found metadata on multiple photos showing that Jason Savage was the author. And we've confirmed this independently with a metadata search of our own. And this is where the story gets really interesting. Jason Savage is the executive director of the Maine GOP. Now, it's not definitive from the metadata that he actually ran the site and published the stories, but he certainly authored some of the photos, and that in itself raises questions, more questions, about the GOP's ties to the site. Other digital evidence has been uncovered, too. All of this is ammunition for the Democrats' ethics complaint. They're arguing that the GOP may have violated campaign finance law by not disclosing its involvement with the site, and that its messaging wasn't journalism, but paid political advertising, which should be disclosed under law.
Steve, it strikes me that all of this occurs during a time when there's a lot of talk about fake news. Is that what this is? And did it play a role in the Lewiston race?
Well, it's hard to say if it's fake news. I mean, there's certainly people who are saying that it is, and that includes the Democrats. But it's worth noting that some of the material that was used by the Maine Examiner was simply spun by political operatives, it would appear, as a political hit. And that's pretty conventional. What makes this different is basically is that they use the veil of a legitimate news organization to carry out that and legitimize the attack. And whether or not it played a role in the outcome is another question that doesn't really have any – we don't have a lot of evidence to answer it. The dynamics of that race by themselves were not unlike the race that Chin lost in 2015 when former Mayor Bob McDonald consolidated his support of the conservative candidates who didn't make the runoff, and Chin lost that race just as he lost this one when a similar scenario unfolded.
Maine Public political correspondent Steve Missler. The Maine Republican Party has issued a statement calling the complaint baseless and without merit, but it doesn't deny involvement with the site. It's not clear if the Ethics Committee will investigate, but its next meeting is not until February. You can read more on this story at mainepublic.org. The U.S. Border Patrol is running daily citizenship checks on buses traveling from Fort Kent toward the state's interior and making periodic checks on buses originating in Bangor. Civil rights advocates say they may be violating the U.S. Constitution. Fred Bever reports.
Daniel Hebert, chief patrol agent for the Houlton sector, says the agency has the authority to make such checks anywhere within 100 miles of the border. That's a standard that encompasses the entire state of Maine.
And our purpose for boarding any conveyances, a bus specifically in this case, would be to question anybody about their right to be or remain in the United States, whether they're an alien or not. That's kind of the gist of it. We would have to have reasonable suspicion to think that somebody isn't a citizen to continue questioning.
The daily checks, he says, might occur at any of a number of stops made on the Sear bus line's routes. And he says a boarding on a Concord Trailways bus at the Bangor bus depot in December did find an individual who was, quote, out of status, that is, not legally in the country. The checks away from the immediate border, he says, provide a useful means of testing the patrol's efforts to police the border itself.
It's an effective use of the limited resources that we have to go to one spot and kind of validate what you're doing based on what you're catching there. You get information from the passengers on people they might see getting on and off the bus ahead of or after the transportation checks.
We don't want to live in a show-me-your-papers kind of society.
Zach Hyden of the ACLU of Maine is questioning the boarding checks, saying they may violate civil rights to freedom of movement or against unreasonable search and seizure.
The Bill of Rights and the Constitution protect us everywhere in this country, but sometimes Customs and Border Protection like to pretend that there's a constitution-free zone anywhere within 100 miles of a border.
Hyden says the Border Patrol's activities in Maine raise the possibility of racial profiling. But Chief Agent Hebert says agents can only ask questions that go to nationality and that are not based on race or skin color. He adds that agents are trained to perform their tasks in a way that does not inhibit freedom of movement. And Hebert says that while U.S. citizens are not required to carry ID, others are required to carry documentation of their status. He declined to provide more information on the recent Bangor detainee, citing the formal process set in motion by a Freedom of Information Act request from the ACLU. The general manager for Sear Bus Line, Rick Soles, meanwhile, says he doesn't hear often from customers or drivers about the patrol checks, but when he does, it's positive.
The calls that I get generally from people are, or the feelings I get from people regarding the border checks are that it's a safety check which provides security for the people riding the bus and that they're not put out by that.
Concord Trailways officials could not immediately be reached for comment. Last week, a video that went viral showed Border Patrol agents in Florida boarding a Greyhound bus and asking passengers for ID and removing a woman they said had overstayed her tourist visa. That sparked wide outrage online and among advocacy groups. In Maine, Chief Patrol Agent Hebert says transportation checks were discouraged under President Obama, but they've become more frequent since President Trump took office. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And Maine Public Radio's Patty White contributed to this story. A Waterville family is asking the governor and members of Maine's congressional delegation to intervene on behalf of a Haitian man who was picked up by Immigration and Customs Enforcement earlier this month for reasons that are not clear. Recently, the Trump administration rescinded temporary protective status for 60,000 Haitian immigrants displaced by a massive 2010 earthquake. But other Haitians are also being picked up and detained. And as Susan Sharon reports, Lexia St. Martin is now being held at a New Hampshire jail awaiting deportation.
Lexius St. Martin was pulling out of his driveway to go to work on January 2nd when ICE officials nabbed him. He parked the car and left with agents before his wife, Mindy, even knew he was missing. A little while later, he called her from the road using an ICE officer's phone.
He said, "Mindy, I am being deported back to Haiti. The car's in the driveway. I just want to let you know, thank you for everything you've done. I love you. And tell my kids that I love them."
The couple have been married for 7 years. They have two young children together and a third one due in May. As the sole breadwinner for the family, Lexius runs a successful cleaning business that provided enough income so he could buy a house. But since his arrest, Mindy isn't sure how she'll pay the bills. She's also worried about being permanently separated from her husband. They talk on the phone every night for about 5 minutes. She says she's only been able to visit him once. He's told her he's being held with dozens of others in overcrowded conditions, including no bed initially, insufficient heat, and few blankets.
And he said it's just an awful situation to be in, and he doesn't know from the next minute until what, I mean, nothing. He said some people that he's talked to have been there for at least 8 months waiting, and then some have been shipped off within just a couple days after being there.
A spokesman for ICE said he would look into the matter before commenting further. St. Martin had been covered by TPS, but John Moen said it was unlikely that St. Martin's arrest had anything to do with the policy being rescinded. It's not expected to go into effect until 2019. Meantime, Mindy St. Martin and her relatives have retained an attorney, Evan Fisher, to try to intervene. Fisher says the administration's lack of clarity around the policy is frustrating, and the thinking that 60,000 Haitians can safely return is flawed.
The situation in Haiti, according to all credible accounts, is not good. They've had a cholera outbreak. They were hit by two very bad hurricanes not too long ago. Most of the national government is in temporary offices. They're just massive problems in Haiti.
Temporary protected status is granted to eligible foreign nationals if they're disrupted by an earthquake, flood, epidemic, or other disaster that severely disrupts living conditions. In the November announcement that TPS for Haiti was ending, the acting Secretary of Homeland Security said a review of conditions since 2010 showed a vast improvement. Fisher is skeptical, and so is the NAACP. This week, the group filed suit against the Department of Homeland Security, saying the decision to rescind TPS status for Haitian immigrants is an egregious departure from statute and, quote, an intent to discriminate on the basis of race and or ethnicity. Fisher, who is not part of the lawsuit, says President Trump has made that case himself.
What does support the decision is the incendiary remarks that have come from President Trump about immigrants, specifically about Haitians and specifically about immigrants of color.
A spokesperson for the Department of Homeland Security declined to comment on the lawsuit or the status of Lexius St. Martin and other Haitian immigrants. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Thursday, January 25th, 2018. Thanks to Nora Flaherty, Mal Leary, A.J. Hickens, and our digital team, I'm Ed Morin.